Good afternoon. My name's Kevin Koshorek, and I'm a criminalist with the Boston Police Crime Lab. And we are a relatively small forensic group. At least I consider us a small agency, small forensic group when I look at labs like Michigan State Police and L.A. County. But about a year ago, that's when I met Aaron, and he was in our police department for a meeting with some of our command staff regarding the FIDEX system. And, you know, one of my coworkers and I, we were basically ordered to attend this meeting. I don't know how many of you out there are, you know, actively working cases in a crime lab, but wherever you're working, the caseload is typically pretty great. And, you know, we weren't too happy about having to go to this meeting. But we reluctantly went, and we heard what Aaron had to say, and I immediately was very excited about the possibility of FIDEX and incorporating it into our lab. We have a number of items of evidence that are handled by our forensic group each year. This is just, you know, some of the numbers. Just in the crime lab alone, over, you know, 3,600 items of evidence have already come in through our evidence receiving window in about 5 months. We handle a lot of items. You know, there are labs out there that are much bigger, but just with the number of people that we have in the lab, 20 people handling about 3,000 items of evidence, it is a lot of evidence coming in each day. Another thing about working in the Boston lab is that we do work with one agency, so we primarily work for the Boston Police Department, as well as some of the colleges and universities, and also we work with one district attorney's office, which is the Suffolk County District Attorney's Office, which basically, Boston is Suffolk County, if you're from Massachusetts. But again, going back to this meeting, we reluctantly went to this meeting, and we heard what Aaron had to say about FIDEX, and we along with virtually every forensic lab in the country, there is that breakdown in communication between the forensic scientists, the DA's office, and the detectives in charge of the case. And there usually isn't that free flow of information. But one thing that we would probably all agree on is that the crime labs or the forensic units in general have a lot of information that both sides want. And really, how do you get that information to everybody and make everyone happy? Some of the things that we were concerned with when we met with Aaron for the first time is just the redundancy of having to enter in more information into another system. Our lab currently, you have to enter each case into an Excel spreadsheet. We also have an electronic evidence tracking system, which is not a LIMS system. And then we also have a number of other different spreadsheets that are kind of optional in quotes, for you to enter in your information. So we were really concerned with, is this going to take us a lot of time to enter in this information again and again and again? And is there any way that we can kind of minimize the amount of places where we have to put it in? Again, the first meeting we had was just to hear what his proposition was and for the business model, but we were very excited at the end when he said that he could pretty much, once you enter in the incident number, you could have your preferences set up and it would be the same for every case. Another thing about our meeting, our second meeting when Aaron came back to discuss just how FIDEX was going to work, at this point we had a member of the command staff, a deputy superintendent, and a veteran homicide investigator attend this meeting. This meeting was actually very interesting because you could see that there was immediately going to be a tug of war for information between the DA's office, the crime lab, and the detectives in charge of the case. Pretty much the detectives were concerned with, you know, if the DAs or ADAs, assistant district attorneys, have access to all of our evidence information, who is going to be the one to, you know, request evidence examinations? And if the assistant district attorneys are allowed to do that, will it cut them out of the loop? Because although we do have a very good, strong working relationship together, you know, things when a detective works nights, the district attorney works days, the communication, there's a breakdown and it falls apart. So we want to try and avoid that. So what we agreed was that we would have FIDEX set up just internally where the detectives could be involved in the, in viewing what FIDEX has to offer, and the crime lab would be basically in charge of who would be allowed to access FIDEX with each case. when we're entering in evidence after each case comes in, if it's a big case, let's say a homicide where we have hundreds of items of evidence, the forensic group is broken down into the crime lab, the latent print section, the firearm section, and the crime scene response unit. All of those units are entering in their evidence simultaneously, which can be very difficult. So you really don't know what evidence you have in the case until, you know, several weeks after. And you also don't know where it's going to be located. You can go in and you can look through our evidence tracking system. But again, there's just so much for volume of evidence per case that it can make it very difficult. So what we wanted to avoid was basically, you know, if the latent fingerprint unit is generating items of evidence, how are we going to know what's going to be submitted to us later on? And if the crime scene response unit is doing the same in the firearm section, you know, we need a heads up as to what is being generated and where it's going to be stored, and also if it's going to be arriving in the lab at some point. Okay, so when we're working with the detectives too, and there's that general fear over who is going to have access, there are a couple things that we were concerned with working in the lab that the detectives weren't necessarily thinking about. So we had concerns of our own. And some of those were the emails. If you're working in a lab and you communicate with the detectives or the district attorney's office through emails, you know, sometimes there's different subject matter in the email that you would rather not be part of your case file. You know, for instance, we work with a very small agency. We generate some pretty good relationships, working relationships, and personal relationships with the detectives. If you're out having a few cocktails one night, you don't really want that in the email of, how's my case going? Oh, you know, by the way, that was a great time at the bar last night. So we try to avoid those situations. The detectives sometimes don't realize that we're documenting all that, even though we specifically say we keep a contact log of any time you request an examination, that goes in the case file. But again, that's something that we want to avoid. So we want to avoid having the emails being, you know, part of the case file. That's one excellent thing about FIDEX, is that when you're using FIDEX, and you're going to have a demonstration later in this, Aaron is going to show you that the simplicity of the emails is perfect. Basically, it shows you the case number, the incident number for your agency, as well as a brief description of what the item of evidence is. Now, if you're having an evidence request, the email is also going out with just the general evidence request. So you're eliminating all that personal information. That way, if you do want to exchange emails with the detective and decide where you're going out for drinks that weekend, you don't have to have it being part of the case file, which is something that I personally really like. It's just having the simplicity of the emails. Now, with the district attorney's office, there was another concern that if the district attorney's office was requesting different examinations for our evidence, that what happens later on in the case if they request something, because we have a lot of new district attorneys or assistant district attorneys that will ask for specific items to be tested, not really knowing what type of testing we offer, not really having a forensic background whatsoever. So what if they're asking for something inappropriate and all of a sudden this is discoverable and, you know, we didn't perform the tests that they asked? I don't know, you know, how it works with everybody else in the country, but I'm assuming it's pretty much the same. You know, when you go through discovery or discovery requests and the defense gets a copy of your case file, they do look at all your correspondence with the detectives and the district attorney's office, and they want to see, are you following up on the different examinations that were requested? So that was one of the concerns. I personally don't see that as being a concern, because you can always explain that a case is basically, it's a living thing, and you're discussing different types of examinations that are, you know, going to take place, and then you may have new information develop, and then all of a sudden those previous requests are not really relevant. But that was something that the detectives were concerned with. So right now we use FIDEX pretty much internally for the email notifications on evidence, but I would like to speak a little bit about that. We get a lot of evidence in, and a lot of different units within the police department have access to our evidence tracking system. Evidence may be split off an existing item where it's then basically it's called a new item of evidence. When I send something to the latent fingerprint section, what happens is, you know, they may swab the mouth of a bottle area, and I want to know where are they in the process of examining that item of evidence. Well, I will get an email notification. It's three lines long that just says that a swab has been generated and now that is part of the evidence. Now, I personally really like this because it really has eliminated a lot of the confusion for me, where I have to go and diligently check, you know, and try and find out what items of evidence have been created and when they were created. Because, you know, you have a big caseload, you know, you have hundreds of cases that you're working on from, you know, the current cases all the way to cold cases, and it's hard to keep track. You may have 1,000 post-it notes on your desk. This is one way of eliminating that, because you're just getting an email notification, and it'll kind of bring it to the front of your mind so that you're now going to work on that case. We've had a lot of success stories, too, with using the FIDEX system. We've had a number of criminalists that have asked to be part of using FIDEX. Initially, there was a lot of hesitation because, you know, it's entering another entering data into another system. But we've had one criminalist in particular where she was waiting for oral swabs for a breaking and entering case. She was working a large number of these cases, and she was waiting weeks for this oral swab to come in. Little did she know that the swab had been submitted. It was just, not a procedural error, but kind of an oversight that the receipt wasn't placed in a place where she could see it on her desk, and a deadline was pretty much missed by the, for court. So that has completely eliminated the, you know, missing the deadlines by using FIDEX and using, you know, what it has to offer for the notifications. Now, what we really don't use FIDEX for currently in the lab is for our statistics. You know, it seems to be a reoccurring theme throughout the conferences that statistics are, you know, more and more important each day. Your commissioners and your police chiefs want to know exactly what's going on in the lab. They want more accountability. They want all of this information regarding what are you doing with your time and how are you processing evidence and reducing backlogs. But you can use FIDEX for this purpose. We haven't used it yet for this purpose because it's really taken me a while to convince some of my coworkers to get into the FIDEX mindset. And now, since there have been some issues with potentially missing deadlines, I've convinced them. And actually, since going and preparing for this conference and preparing a little lecture, I went over to some of the other units, such as the latent fingerprint section and the firearms section, and I was just kind of telling them what I was gathering data for, specifically with the amount of items we collect, and they were really upset that I haven't allowed them to use FIDEX yet, which I think they're forgetting that we had this conversation about a year ago and nobody really wanted to talk about it. But really, when I go back now, I have an audience that is going to listen to me, and they're going to be very interested in using FIDEX. So there isn't enough that I can say about FIDEX and how it could work. Having gone to a couple of the seminars here in the last couple of days, you know, talking about the backlogs in Michigan and then in L.A. County, this would be a perfect tool for those two agencies, you know, for looking at workload as well as just figuring out where cases are in your system. And it's so simple to use. Really, once you have your preferences set and you have, you know, you enter in your case, all you have to do is enter in your case number. It works by itself. It basically aggregates all of that information. So, you know, I really just can't say enough, but Aaron's going to show you a demonstration later. Anybody have any questions first? Yes.
How does it handle emergency or ASAP cases?
Well, we haven't really used it for the request for examination as of right now, but, I mean, you'll have a request for an examination. I guess Aaron might be able to touch on that.
Sure, Dr. Krause. You know, it really depends on what your business process is for those kind of emergency examinations. The tool, when we developed the tool, and I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but one of the things that we discovered is every crime lab has a little bit different business process in terms of requesting examinations and so on and so forth. And so one of the first requirements we had was whatever tool we built can't force any kind of business process down any agency's throat. But what we did find is that there is a high degree of consistency with the kind of information that they're capturing. So, you know, while I don't know your specific process for acquiring the emergency requests, I would say because everything is real time with the software, it should be able to be configured to meet your business requirements.
I just want to say one more thing because I had a note and I forgot to say it. In September of last year, our latent fingerprint section was accredited by ASCLAT. And the DA's office, the district attorney, Dan Conley, he came in and gave a little speech, for the accreditation ceremony. And he basically put out a number. He said, I just want to congratulate the latent fingerprint unit in their accreditation because we've had successful prosecution in 85% of our gun cases. And that's one thing that I would like to see happen in the future is to have the court system, because that's really what it's ideally designed for, is to get everybody involved, the courts, the detectives, as well as the crime lab. You know, we don't know the disposition of a lot of our cases, and that's something that we really need to have the courts help us out with by allowing us to have access to their system. I know that in our court system, they're, I believe, going through a process in the next few months where they're going to be implementing new technology there or a new system. So I think we have to wait for that to take place before we can go back and ask them to allow us to have access. But, you know, we're sitting there in disbelief that, wow, 85% of our cases are ending up in a successful prosecution. That would be really nice to know, you know, as it's happening, and being able to look at these items and say, okay, fine, we don't have to examine this because it's already gone forward and the person took a plea, or, you know, yes, it is moving forward and they need our results in order to, you know, maybe reach a plea deal or go forward with trial. So any other questions?
I wanted to know two questions, actually. Is this available for all forensic units and full-service forensic labs, not just DNA, I would assume?
Yes. When I show you a demonstration, it's going to show how it can be used across any kind of examination types with any types of evidence, quite frankly.
And then to take it one step further, and perhaps you'll touch on it, is it also available for the DA's office or, I guess, information to be inputted on their end as far as offender and arrestee collections from various sites to ensure that the sample has been provided and then submitted to the forensic lab?
Absolutely. The application is a web-based application, so as long as you can get to the server, the physical server, through your network to access the webpage, and you've been given authority to be able to view the case, you being the specific ADA or detective or a criminalist, you can add it, you can update it. We can set up rules about what fields you can update based on your role.
I was wondering, do you guys assign cases to your specific analysts, and so the emails get sent to you directly, or do they get sent to, like, everybody?
That's a good question. Actually, you set up your rules. You'll have an administrator that can assign cases, and once they list you as the case analyst, you'll get an email notification, again, three lines long, saying that this case has been assigned to you. And then as the analyst, you have the authority to then include detectives that are involved in the case, so you may want to include specific investigators, maybe an investigator and their supervisor, depending on how your agency works. And then you can also include people from the DA's office. So you can actually input various email addresses and, you know, include whoever you'd like. And that's the beauty of it, is that whoever is involved in the case, but you as a crime lab analyst will have the authority to do that.
Okay. So do you find that you're inundated with emails? It sounds like a lot of emailing. I mean, do you have to sort through them? I mean, how does that...
It depends on the case. You know, if I have a case that where there are a couple hundred items, I will notice that I will get flooded with emails when latent fingerprints starts examining like a case of beer bottles and they start swabbing all of the bottles and splitting those items. But it's still very good to know because I know that all of those items are going to eventually come across my desk. But I'm not really flooded right now because I'm using it in a kind of a small population. When I get back and now that I have more interest, it's going to be much bigger. But I don't foresee it as being a burden. It's really more of a heads up. You know, I may have a list of 10 emails, and I'll flip through them just to see what is being processed and just to see where each item is in the chain. But it's really not bad at all.
My question has to do with the storage of electronic data and the discovery issues that come along with that. So how are discovery issues handled with this data?
Well, we haven't really had a discovery issue yet, but if there was a question, I mean, I could always go back and print out the email notification. The requests for analysis, if a detective is going to request an analysis, usually what happens is they're already submitting the item to us, so we're having an evidence submission form, so usually that information is the same. I guess if it were different, then I would have to print it out, but really we haven't had that issue.
Yeah, and one of the reasons we actually developed the tool so that you can actually take an electronic version of the report, a PDF or whatever, and attach it to that record within FIDEX. And Boston PD, for a lot of reasons, just like what I think you're talking about, decided they didn't want to do that. And so for the specific results of the examination, you can just not use that feature, that capability, and actually disable it.